A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
One love, we don't need another love, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Mark Speller, and his name's Jim Campbell.
Hello.
His name's Luke Moore.
All right.
And he's Pete Donaldson. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, it's football time. And Manchester United had a good old football time the other night, didn't they, in the Europa League final?
Scintillating.
We're going straight into it. Yeah. There's not even any pleasantries.
No. Was there any pleasantries that night?
No. I want pleasantries from Pete Donaldson.
Pragmatism.
It is.
Shall we do the pleasantries after the Europa League final roundup? Right. Because it was so boring.
Uh-huh. We can do pleasantries after we've won titles, mate.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
There's no room
Three
for there's no room for poets.
That's right. He said that.
Yeah.
Mourinho said that, didn't he?
Which, in a way, is a dig at Ajax after he's just beaten them.
It's a dig at Johan Cruyff.
The thing I like about it is that it's an amazing economy of phrase. That Mourinho said. Mm-hmm. I mean, he said after the game, there are lots of poets in football, but poets, they don't win many titles. And you could interpret that so many different ways.
Yeah.
You can interpret it as against the media, who just write words all day about him. Because remember earlier in the season, he said, "Oh, they never lose a game in their minds," type thing. About Guardiola, who's this philosopher guy, against Ajax and their history, against all the people like Klopp as well. All these other people, which is fantastic.
Now you're getting
also
the Einsteins, who he was digging out earlier this season.
That was
early
in the season. Yeah.
I appreciate what you're saying. I don't think it is at the media, and I don't think you might think that as well. I think this is a dig at Guardiola this season.
Yeah.
Specifically. He's forgotten all the other things Guardiola's done. And I think it is that actually Ajax is often seen, quite rightly so, as the root of Barcelona, and where their footballing style, and this is of no revelation to anybody, of course, and Mourinho hates that.
He does.
He hates that, and he goes out to try and destroy it.
Absolutely. His whole motivation for being a manager is destroying that, because he was snubbed, effectively, isn't it?
By Barcelona. For Guardiola.
Yeah, quite. It's Shakespearean, really.
It is. Going to the game itself, I mean, obviously it's a very, very difficult situation for Manchester United and the events that happened earlier in the week. But what it was an absolute masterclass from Man United, a masterful performance from the king of the one-off game tactics in Jose Mourinho.
Correct.
And rumours of his sort of demise have been greatly exaggerated since he's had such a difficult season league-wise with United in the Premier League. They were just they didn't put a foot wrong. They were absolutely flawless. They didn't let Ajax impose themselves at all. Ajax controlled the possession, but United completely controlled the game. And at no point at any stage did it look like United weren't going to win that.
Yeah, and it didn't look like Ajax were even going to get a chance.
No.
Incredible that they restricted them to that. And you're right about Mourinho one-off games. He's won 12 of his 14 finals as a manager, which is incredible. And what's
Sign him up just for the finals then.
Yeah. Just draft him in.
Just ring him.
Do you think you could have...
Tell him it's a final every time.
Yeah,
yeah, right. But would you think... managers could be seen as, you know, like managers often play goalkeepers, one for the tournaments and one for the leagues now. Yeah. You have a manager for the leagues.
Well, Romero,
Day
yeah,
Nice.
Example.
But Manchester United are now the most successful English club in history in terms of major trophies won. They've won 45, whereas Liverpool have 44. And it was Mourinho.
In his first season as well. Yeah. I love that.
He's got a hat-trick of trophies because the Community Shield's definitely
apart from that rumour. Yeah, right.
He's really been talking that up as well, hasn't he?
He has.
Zlatan as well.
He was making the players do the old three, trying to make it out with some sort of like ersatz treble. Yeah. But apart from the fact that he had a little bit of a rivalry with Liverpool when he was Chelsea manager for a bit over that Champions League thing here and there and all that other stuff. He's not really ever had a proper dig with Liverpool. Not full on. Not like a full on like war wage with them. But
Man United boss or in general?
Yeah, just generally.
Or the old finger to the lips in the League Cup final to wind the
family. But it's as Mourinho's wars go, it's kind of fairly minor,
isn't it? I don't
know,
because it was his side in that first of the series of semi-finals in the Champions League that Chelsea and Liverpool met each other.
Actually,
and that was a huge rival, according to Lampard and Carragher.
But my
recently,
point was just going to be that he'll take it anyway. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And he said that he'd rather have done it this way, i.e. qualifying for the Champions League, than finish fourth, third or second.
Because this is the way he actually did do it.
Indeed, yeah. and then reminded us that Manchester United now have every trophy to their name. I mean, this is why he's been a miserable sod for most of the season, and this is why he was so, joyful.
Jubilant.
Jubilant is the word.
Joyful and triumphant, as the song went.
All of that, Peter, because we haven't seen Mourinho like this for a while, and he thought to himself...
Yeah, there's a reason for that, isn't there?
Right.
He's not winning anything.
Exactly. But he thought to himself, if I can win this game, I've got all the quotes lined up, and he flipping well gave us them.
When they scored the first goal, and he sort of sat in his seat where all the coaching staff went crazy and celebrated, I thought, oh, we're going to get that Mourinho tonight. He's going to be very subdued.
Stoic,
he's going to say, after the game, he's going to say, well, we achieved our aim. The critics thought we couldn't do it, but we did it, and we got a trophy as well. I thought he would do all that. But the way he reacted when they won the game, his son came on and they had a massive rumble on the floor and a pile on that stuff. I was really surprised.
Absolutely, it was. I mean, when he won the Champions League with Porto, and then I think, was he on the back? I can't remember his reaction with Inter, but I know that sometimes he is quite subdued, but then he is leaving that club.
Yeah.
And I think you could go as far to say that a lot of his reputation was on the line in that game.
Mm.
Because if they'd have lost, the season wouldn't have been a success. And the way he talked about it was, you know, the hardest season he's ever had. It ended really, really well. They had a great season, blah, blah, blah. They salvaged the season.
Mm.
And don't get me wrong, any European trophy is a great thing to win.
And they've not won it before either.
No, but they salvaged the season there. They saved it with that win. And I think that actually it was relief.
Well, when you're a club of the size of Man United, I mean, the margins are so fine. I mean, you have to, it's very easy to go from a success, which is arguably expected, to an almost catastrophic defeat because you're at Manchester United. And one of the things that will be interesting, and there was a BT Sport documentary about Manchester United after the game, and it was presented by Rio Ferdinand, and Mourinho actually talked quite humbly about his place within Man United folklore, which he's described at this present time as being essentially non-existent, because he's not been... He said he was very proud of his managerial career overall, but at United he's not really done anything yet, and he really wanted to earn his place alongside all these two great managers. He was talking about Ferguson and Busby, I presume. He didn't name them, but I guess that's who he was talking about.
It wasn't Moyes, was it?
No, it wasn't Moyes. We can be absolutely sure of that. what will be fascinating to see now they've lifted this trophy... As they move through the summer, and clearly they need to strengthen again, and they move through to the next season, is that Mourinho in his career has been absolutely typified by always being successfully able to have a battle and style himself and his team as the underdog. Even at Real Madrid, I mean...
Didn't like it at Real Madrid a lot.
Well, quite. No. This is the point I was going to go on to make. At Porto, they were clearly, relatively speaking, a small club compared to some of the heavyweights. They were, historically, you know, they're a big club, but you know what I mean.
But they can play the underdog in the Champions League.
Exactly. Yes. At Inter, he was able to play the underdog. At Chelsea, he would always say, oh, you know, Chelsea don't have this massive, rich history these other clubs have. At Real Madrid, it was all, even though it's preposterous to say it, but Mourinho really was styling himself, as we all remember, as this guy who wanted to knock off the golden boys of Barcelona off the
perch. Of course,
Man United are not going to stand for that, and he can't realistically... I can't think of an angle he can realistically fashion himself and his team. But he's got the most expensive squad ever assembled. So, yes, United fans are going to support him, and they have done this season, really, and they're going to completely be happy with winning things like Europa League, but not long-term. Sooner or later, he's going to have to... As he says it, he's going to have to embrace this poetry. They're going to have to play slightly better football. They're going to have to be delivered. The fans are going to have, and the club's going to have to be delivered the type of football they've been used to seeing over the last however many years. And that's going to be the big challenge for Mourinho as he moves forward as a manager of the club.
And what I completely agree. And also looking at that, I think if you look at the dust settling on the season now, this looks exactly like what we've seen every single time before at the start of his 3-year cycle. You know, there's not really anything that's happened to suggest that things are going to go any differently. You know, he spent a lot of money, and he's still talking about sort of pragmatism and you know, a win for the humble guys and stuff like that, which is obviously ridiculous. And as you say, they're the second biggest club in the world, you could argue. You know, only Real Madrid are sort of, you know, a bigger, sort of richer club in a lot of people's minds. So that you can't really do that. As you say, you can't play the underdog over and over again. And how is he going to mutate that? Because he's talking about, you know, it's his own propaganda, really, that we've heard so many times. He's got Paul Pogba in that team. He's got Henrik Mkhitaryan in that team. He's got Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And there's a hell of a lot of good players there anyway. And they're only going to strengthen that. He's only going to mutate that side into his own a lot more. And that's only going to be with big, sort of good quality players. He cannot carry on like that.
Mm.
So it's fascinating to see where they're going to go next season. Obviously, being in the Champions League is a massive, massive thing. And I think that was probably, you know, more than actually winning something, that's what he's happy about. Because he's wanted this job for a long, long time. And his ambitions clearly involve Europe as well.
Mm, you're absolutely right.
It is his first season. You know, like,
yeah. He's won trophies.
Yeah.
But it was nice to see Wayne Rooney get a little run out, Peter.
It was. And
Wayne
and
Rooney's only touch was a big slide tackle.
he got hit in the chest, I think, with the ball.
Oh, did he? Okay.
Oh, okay. That counts.
One of his main touches was a big slide tackle.
Yeah.
Which I liked. But it was a fantastic display of different clashing styles of football. Leading into the game, I was really excited to see this Ajax team in a big final, such a young side. I mean, I think in the semi-final, the average age was about 21, 22, which is incredible, really. I mean, they had a 17-year-old centre-back who played bloody well, by the way, and has got a huge future ahead of him. But obviously, with the events that happened earlier in the week in Manchester, I think everyone was sort of pulling for them to take it home for the city. And Man City showed a nice touch afterwards as well, congratulating them and saying, you know, this is for everyone, and I'm sure United would agree with that. And Chris Smalling said in the post-match interview, he said that this made us even more determined.
Sure.
And I also think it was, I mean, I don't want to get too much into the sort of tragedy, because that's not really what this show's about, but it made me think that it would probably been quite a difficult game to sort of tackle for Ajax.
Yeah.
It was almost like, it's very difficult in my mind to imagine them being able to celebrate freely had they won it.
Yeah.
So in a way, Ajax fans and the Ajax players and the club aren't going to think this. And Peter Bosz came out and said that, you know, that wasn't the Ajax that we've all been used to seeing. And I think he was a bit flummoxed as to why they didn't play.
As did the fans who threw the chairs at players as well.
Mm. They couldn't impose themselves on the game very well. And
didn't let them.
But that's exactly the point. The United were very, 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 very good. I mean, it was one of the best performances of the season. It was up there with United's performance against Chelsea.
If they get a bit up top, they get a bit more, I don't know, penetration up top, a stifling performance at the back, a stifling performance in midfield, and then just break when you can. That's
exactly
that
what they
fits
did.
The Premier League massively, I mean, for me.
You're right. I think you play counter-attacking football, even if you're one of the big boys. Chelsea have done it a lot this season, as we've said before, and Gary Neville said himself.
But they need a Diego Costa kind of character. They need a Hazard. They need
Mourinho's always had them.
Drogba's
the archetypal Mourinho forward.
Interestingly enough, in that documentary on BT Sport, Mourinho was very effusive in his praise about Marcus Rashford. So he sees in Marcus Rashford, he reacts to pressure the same way that Mourinho considers himself to react to pressure. And I think he sees a player in Rashford, and Mourinho's got this reputation as not really supporting young players. And to some extent, you know, fairly.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But he was saying that Rashford, he loves how he reacts under pressure. He loves that he went large parts of the season without scoring goals, but still sort of applies himself properly. And it's no coincidence that Rashford played a big part in the game on Wednesday night as well. But I mean, you know, I do as well. He's full of running. He's got a big future ahead of him,
and he seems like a very smiley chap, and it's always nice to have a Marcus in there.
As I often say, Manchester United are 10-3 third favourites now with bet365 to win the Premier League next season. So £10 will return £43.33 including stake. That is food for thought.
It'll
be absolutely stunning to see how they strengthen. I mean, is this going to open the door for Antoine Griezmann to go to the club now? He's apparently saying that it's no longer 6 out of 10,
is
mate.
It 7?
According to today's papers. they didn't do a different numerical value,
right.
But they seem to make out that Griezmann is all of a sudden bloody excited to go to Man United.
It's
funny you say that, because earlier on I saw something saying that Griezmann had been talking about his plans for Atletico next season, so this is all over the place.
But I think that Champions League spot makes all the difference, and I wish Griezmann, he'd have been tweeting throughout the game was sort of 1-0, 7 out of 10.
Yeah, yeah.
2-0 yeah. with a minute to go, yeah. 9 out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah. You've charmed me.
If you're not someone who necessarily reads an awful lot of the tabloid press, which is perfectly understandable, Marcus and I do newspaper roundup sometimes on the radio station, which we won't name, but they are always covering, the tabloid papers are covering Antoine Griezmann every single day. Not a day goes in when I don't do the newspaper back pages and there's not a story about Griezmann.
There aren't enough superstar strikers anymore.
Yeah, right.
The herd has been thin so much, and to see a man who's just knocking goals in for fun, it's rare to happen.
If there are, they're just not going to move. It's like Messi or Ronaldo. But I think Messi has got a reasonable chance of moving, by the way.
Really?
We never know.
Well, there's been rumbles of that as well, haven't there? But also, Atletico Madrid apparently have got a pre-contract agreement, or that there's some sort of some inkling that Alexandre Lacazette will go there this summer.
Right.
And you would think, you know, they'd probably potentially offload Griezmann then. If he's coming in, it looks like they've earmarked a replacement already.
They're well used to replacing strikers.
They're unbelievable.
It's one of
the great joys of modern football, isn't it? That incredible ability of them to do that. We were talking about this on Thoughts of Ramble the other day, and both of us were quite annoyed at Jackson Martinez for sort of letting that down.
Mm.
But they've soldiered on.
Yeah, right, yeah. They've always got an ace up their sleeve, haven't they? Shall we talk about the FA Cup final?
Yeah.
Because that is happening this weekend, obviously. That is the big one. It's Arsenal versus Chelsea. The Gunners are without a back line.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
By the looks of things. Koscielny's obviously... that is the frustrating one for Arsenal fans. Stupid red card.
Unreal.
Gabriel's injured, and Mustafi sort of waiting on him, but it's looking less likely.
Mustafi, his injury was a concussion as well, so that's if there's any doubt, you can't play him.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
Kieran Gibbs is a doubt as well.
That one's the nightmare, because, I mean, the back three has been working very well, and Nacho Monreal was slotted quite well into it at times when he's had to, so that you would have been looking at Rob Holding, Per Mertesacker and Monreal as the back three, which is still far from ideal with Gibbs as the left wing back.
Coming to the studio tonight, I thought that's exactly what we were going to talk about, them playing that. But if Gibbs is a doubt, I mean, Gibbs is always a doubt, isn't he?
Absolutely. Mm. I wonder if maybe Bellerin or Oxlade-Chamberlain will swap over, because I just don't see what the other option is.
The problem is with the centre-back situation with Arsenal is that even if we're talking about Mertesacker playing, what's he played, one game this season?
He's come on as a sub in one game this season.
And
that was against Everton.
And he looked slow.
Yeah.
There's no way Mertesacker, and I rate Mertesacker, I think he's had a great career, he's a fantastic defender. He's never been quick, and we all know that. An unmatched fit Mertesacker, who's played whatever it is half a game this season for the first time in 13 months,
and it was against Everton the last
against
game.
Hazard and Costa.
Yeah, it's going to be tough.
They start.
They're going to play deep line.
With that in mind, you'd think they would go for a back three, because he's going to need that little bit of protection that will allow him to sort of sit a bit deeper, perhaps.
They've just got such a big challenge ahead of them, Arsenal. I mean, the thing about Arsenal in the FA Cup is that they're clearly very successful in the competition.
Yeah.
They are good at finding a way to win overall in the FA Cup.
Well, Mertesacker scored in the last two finals we had.
There we go. And they were probably... I mean, is it fair to say Man City were the better side in the semi-final?
It could have gone either way, but...
Hit the woodwork a couple of times, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was tight.
Yeah, it could have gone either way, but Arsenal found a way to win. And if you look at their record before, I mean, in 2013-14, when they won it, they beat Everton, Liverpool and Spurs. In 2015, they beat United at Old Trafford. I mean, this season, they've beaten Man City. So they do find a way to beat better sides occasionally. Yeah. I mean, I'm not suggesting all those teams are better than them, but they're tough games, right? So as a one-off game, you just never know.
Mm.
But you think Chelsea have got the bit between their teeth. They're going for a double. They're so confident. Mm. And I think both teams going into the game have won eight out of the last nine games. But you'd have to fall down the side of Chelsea at this point, I think. You just got to, I think.
I think if Arsenal played a deeper line and actually invited Chelsea on and tried to hit them on the break, it might be quite interesting.
Well, that's going to have to be how they do it. They're going to have to be very, very committed and just stifle Chelsea as much as possible. And I think with stopping Hazard, Costa as well, and Kante's marauding runs, that has to be the game plan, really. It's got to be to hit them on the break, you would think. But, you know, Arsenal have shown that on their day, they can beat sides who you would expect to beat them, and I'm not necessarily dreading this game, as a lot of people seem to make out now that there have been these injuries that we're potentially going to get battered, and I think we have a decent chance, but they have to play their best possible game, and put in those performances that we occasionally see from them that are so frustrating, like the game against Man City where they dug in and they showed they had some steel. We need a lot of that.
I just don't think that Conte will allow them to have anything else, because what you're saying, Jim, and I would agree with this essentially, is that Arsenal need to be at their very best and Chelsea need to have a bit of an off day. Chelsea are a better side than Arsenal. I think we'd all agree on that.
The league table would as well.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know what you think about it, Marcus, but I don't think Conte, the culture that Conte has fostered at Chelsea is going to allow for that sort of stuff to happen. Do you know what I mean?
I totally agree.
Because as we've said on this show time and time again, the standards that Conte sets for that team, for that squad, and lives himself by example, are just so high that you cannot imagine a side that's won 30 Premier League games in the season and won the league. It's really at a canter, pretty much, to not be motivated to win in this double for the first time. They've only ever won it once, haven't they? Double 2010 with Ancelotti. So that's clearly a massive motivation.
The chances of them not turning up are minimal.
I don't consider any other combination of a double as a double. That's why I said a double.
If Portsmouth have won the league cup as well that year.
Ask Mourinho. Another community and League Cup double.
Who won the treble this season? I think Conte hasn't even seen any tourist attractions in England, for crying out loud. He's been that focused, and you're absolutely right. And that is why Chelsea getting Conte was such a coup, because the way he manages a club, it will either go one of two ways with Conte. You will either win and stay focused and be challenging all of the time, or it will completely implode. Because
either way, he's not going to see Stonehenge.
No,
either way.
Not before June.
which I would recommend, by the way.
Would you?
It's Britain's premier Neolithic attraction.
I can't name another one.
That says more about you.
There is a Woodhenge.
Is there?
Yeah.
That can't be as good.
No, well, I imagine it's not as good. But it is a thing.
Joe, one of the most fascinating things about Stonehenge, and now I'm going to go down this, is the stone for Stonehenge was actually quarried several hundred miles away from the site.
That's right.
In Cardiff,
isn't
that,
absolutely,
is that right?
Baffling. It's in Wales somewhere. Yeah.
It was stolen from the Welsh and it should be given back.
Yeah.
Quite frankly.
Yeah, I mean, that's
people should carry it back symbolically.
At least we can roll the Elgin marbles on.
Yeah.
No, they're not actual marbles, you idiot.
I know they're not. He's having a little lull. You can roll them on its side.
I think
boom, boom, boom.
I think Stonehenge is terribly disappointing. And
no way.
And you
no
can
way.
See, of course it is. And you can see it.
Of course it is.
Darve little stones. And you can see it from the car. You can drive past it. You don't need to go in and get
it. You can see it from the car.
Yeah.
Jesus, where's
no,
your,
no, no. Hey,
where's
no,
your
no,
sense
no.
of adventure?
No,
is that what you're judging it on?
No, hang on.
Michael Palin.
Right. I've got more claim to Palin's crown than you, Jim.
Proper Simon Reeve.
I like Simon Reeve. Yeah. No, you don't need to go up to the... You know, you've paid your ticket and
this
go
This information you're given here is out of date. You know why?
Because road been moved?
It's a lot. Well, now you mentioned that.
That's
they
it.
Are talking about putting a tunnel road through there, so you won't actually be able to see it from the car for much longer.
Up there, I've already seen it.
One thing that is genuinely disappointing, not this nonsense from you, Speller. The one thing that is genuinely disappointing, apparently way back in the day, you used to be able to walk up to it and touch it and everything.
You should be able to do that now. I mean, they're rocks, for crying out loud. What are you going to do?
Is it fair to say that Per Mertesacker is the Stonehenge of football?
I think they're more sort of an Easter Island statue.
Very similar
turning circle. Yeah,
very old and decorated. A very almost a tourist attraction.
Yeah.
Very high reputation, but very, very slow.
Yeah. Peter Cech, would he come into that bracket as well?
Oh, he's still a very good operator.
Still
Peter
a very good operator. He's going to start probably rather than Ospina.
He started the semi, didn't he?
He did. It's strange, this whole cup keeper thing, isn't it? Because I just think play your most experienced team, play your best, most experienced team in a situation like that.
Yeah, I'm quite intrigued by the cup keeper.
Yeah,
did Mourinho start it?
I don't know, because David Ospina was the Champions League goalkeeper as well as the FA Cup goalkeeper this year.
How'd that go? Badly.
Can't remember, mate.
It's not really his fault, was it?
I think back to it, there's just black. Just blackness.
I'm looking back at it, and just in my mind, I'm seeing Ospina just getting peppered by Bayern Munich over and over again. Not really his fault. But you know what? We talk a bit about keepers, about sub keepers on this show before, and we used to say that. To give an ideal like second choice keeper, you want like a young up and coming keeper who's happy to learn his trade, or an old sort of stager,
elder statesman.
Yeah, elder statesman type character. But it seems to be that, I mean, United have been for a few decent quality keepers recently. I mean, they had Valdez. Yeah. It's easy to forget they had Valdez.
Or Stuart Taylor.
Romero's a good Romero's a good keeper though, isn't he? So now they just seem to want to have two good quality keepers and better keep them happy, if you know what I mean.
Well, two international goalkeepers seems the norm at the moment, doesn't it? Yeah. Which is crazy.
But that Premier League coin is so, so sweet.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're just happy to take it.
Yeah, it was a shame about the Chelsea subkeeper, whose name escapes me for a moment.
Hilario?
Oh, no, Begovic.
Begovic, thank you. Hilario. Lovely to hear his name. He was like the fifth choice keeper, wasn't he?
But he seemed to play quite a lot.
Yeah, he's still got his game.
Once in a while.
I think it was just a bit like Haley's Comet. Once every so often. bloody spectacular.
Yeah, Begovic is the number one.
Yeah, of course
all
he is.
All day
yeah,
long is number one.
But they back themselves, these players, don't they?
You can, yeah. Look, you can totally understand why a sub-keeper would go to a bigger club, because the sub-keeper thinks to himself, I can go along there and I can be part of something. Just to see the operation of a title-winning side like Chelsea.
That's why Schwarzer said he went to Chelsea. Yeah,
well, yeah, I mean, and plus the fact that he was about 40.
Another one is Michel Vorm. I mean, he's a good Premier League... I mean, he's nowhere near as good as Lloris, but he's a good Premier League operator.
Well, Vorm is one I would understand less than someone like... Begovic, because Begovic goes to Chelsea and you think, see, a couple of seasons at Chelsea, goalkeeper's career is longer as well, but just to see how, just to be around a club like that, and then afterwards, if you're getting really itchy gloves, then you can say, do you know what?
Oh, my gloves, they itchy.
I fancy moving, and he can go to a side.
Perhaps buy some cream for them.
There we are.
I think a good example of that gamble paying off would be Ter Stegen at Barcelona, just waiting for his chance and then taking it.
But he was
really
the Champions League keeper.
Exactly. But still, you know, he would have gone there, as you say, you know, keepers back themselves. He would have gone there thinking, I'm going to get my way into this team.
Stephen Harper.
There you are.
The archetype. Newcastle have got a bunch of goalkeepers.
They've got a load more Steve Harpers.
That's a really good ones recently.
Going back to the cup final, Arsenal are currently 15-4 to win the FA Cup in 90 minutes with Bet365. For £10, we'll return £47.50, including stake. If you fancy them to turn over those blues.
I do indeed.
Do you?
Why not? Why not? Jim was looking a little bit down.
I think what happened there was you couldn't think of what to say, so you just went, I do indeed. It's your default position. Yeah.
Would you like some eggs? I do indeed.
I was about to say, actually, what really happened is Pete whispered a little offer in my ear.
Do you think Stonehenge is overrated? I do indeed.
Correct. We're going to talk more football and that after this.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
They're men of the world, not your regular rabble. They love a bit of that.
Hashtag travel.
Welcome back to the preview show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. It's time for emails with that guy, Pete Diddy Donaldson.
Oh, I had so much time to prepare there, and I wasn't ready. As bloody usual, hello, Ben Delaney, sent from his Samsung Galaxy A3 2016 in Power by 3.
Good to know. Seriously, more format.
Yeah,
give the number out.
So. Hi, guys. On last week's show, you were wondering if anyone other than Colo Torre could call themselves a double invincible.
Yes, I've heard about this. Lots of people got in touch.
Bizarrely, Celtic actually have two other guys in the squad who have done just that.
Ooh.
Two players. Cool. Right back, Mikael Lustig, Rosenberg and Celtic. And centre back, Jozo Siminovic.
Siminovic.
Zagreb and Celtic.
Yeah.
Good and Siminovic is only 22, so that's pretty good.
That is an invincible defence.
So there's three players who are double invincibles. Calatore's not 22. and one of them is how old? 22.
22.
Incredible.
Siminovic.
Actually, I mean, I'll tell you what was incredible.
He's got more in him.
Going back to it, the centre back for Ajax, De Ligt. 17.
Yeah.
He's got
unreal.
A big future ahead of him.
Delicious.
Disgusting.
Yeah, right? I haven't seen anything so talented, so young, since Raphael Varane. You thought that was going to be a joke, but it wasn't.
No. Since the day you met a young Pete Donaldson.
True.
Pete's never been young. He's like Bruce Forsyth.
Timeless.
Yeah. Still got potential, isn't he?
Yeah. Kyle. I was going to say something terrible.
I heard a bit of you die then. It was awful.
I was going to mention someone that always looked very old. Kyle, due to the possible retiring of Big Sam, Kyle says, due to the possible retiring of Big Sam from the game, I would like to inform you that according to Joey Barton's autobiography, Big Sam once ate 11 fried eggs in a single sitting.
Yeah, we've heard this before, Pete, I think.
I've never heard this before. 11 fried
eggs. I think you might have even read out the email.
Never mind.
To be fair, Peter, I can't remember it.
Well, Kyle does say, I would give you a quote, but do your own work, Donaldson. I haven't found a quote.
No.
Screw you, Kyle.
Yeah. Does that mean you haven't done your homework, though?
Pretty much. Nicky Fernandez has got a lovely story. Dear Football Ramble, following on a conversation about random acts of kindness from footballers, I thought I'd tell you about a Ramble favourite, Ray Wilkins. During Ray's time at Chelsea, my dad and Ray became close friends. Following some health problems, my dad had to give up work for a few years during my childhood and sadly passed away in 2005. His time off work left my mum trying to balance her job, look after me and deal with a whole pile of debts. Ray took time out of his role as Millwall assistant and attended my dad's funeral. When we got home and opened up some of the sympathy cards from the day, Ray had subtly written my mum a very generous cheque to help us out. We lost contact with Ray afterwards, but the money was an enormous help. My mum never got a chance to thank him before she passed away fairly recently, so maybe if any of the listeners have any contact with Ray, they might be able to pass on my thanks. I love the show. Keep up the good work, Nicky Fernandez. And mum apparently always remarked that Ray was the nicest smelling man she'd ever met.
Well, I can confirm that.
Absolutely.
I've worked with Ray a number of times. I'll tell you what.
Fragrant.
Not one word of that email rings untrue to me.
No.
Bloody lovely chap.
Ragrant.
And yeah, he is very ragrant. And next time, maybe Marcus or I see him, we'll tell him.
Yes.
Maybe we'll tell him that. Yeah.
Good news.
Ragrant.
Hello to Matt from Sydney. Do you want to hear about a trophy that looks like a toilet?
No.
Not really.
All right, well, let's move on.
Of course we do.
Apparently, there's a trophy that looks like a toilet.
Is that the story? Yeah. Is that it?
Have you just read the punchline?
Well, yeah, pretty much. Because obviously, the Eredivisie is a plate rather than a cup.
Yeah.
I thought I'd give you more stick to which you beat the Australian A League with, because the A League Grand Final trophy is circular and hollow, which is supposed to resemble some kind of wreath. However, in true laconic Aussie style, everyone looked at it and thought,
that looks like a toilet seat.
Right.
So then loads of fans turned up with spray painted toilet seats.
Just an example of the laughs or antipathy others like to have.
Yeah, I heard that Dunedin United won it. It's an Australian word for toilet, Dunedin.
Yeah. Nice. I mean, that's one of your better ones.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love that. Somebody, crumbs, I don't know who actually sent me this, but somebody sent me the final.
Look at the end, mate. They'll probably have their name on it.
The final place. It didn't copy it. I had to do a screenshot, you see.
Is it Steve at Hotmail.com?
The clipboard function on the computer at work, I don't know what it is, the memory problem or something, it just wasn't allowing me to copy
continue.
And paste. So what I had to do is actually copy and paste it, print screen it, and then paste it, control V into paint, crop it, and then copy and paste it into Word, because presumably they operate on the same thing and Google Chrome just doesn't.
Yeah.
So you can criticise me, but I'll explain it.
Well, it's brilliant. I always love to reiterate and retell this story. I'll do it really quickly.
What?
Pete once genuinely got annoyed with me because I don't build my own PC.
I didn't get annoyed. I just think, how can you know about yourself
if you've never had a go?
Yeah. You've never felt a bit of thermal paste on your finger.
Yeah.
And that gets discussed a lot more than I thought it would on the Football Ramble.
Computer club.
One of my favourite Donaldson moments, I'm telling you.
Basically, someone just sent over the Football Ramble forum fantasy league table.
Right.
So I'll give you the top three. Moneyballers, Charles Ball won it with 2,442 points.
That's an incredible amount of points.
Ridiculous, isn't it?
I think I got about 1,900 this season.
Right. Ooh, that's not too bad, is it?
That's a full 10 or 11 weeks more than me.
AFC Phillips, Tom Phillips became second. And whoever sent this in, I think it was Patrick Brosnan, actually. Ladyboy Chase has become third.
A nice bit of partridge there.
Bit of partridge.
Presumably, Pete, you got some sort of prize for them. That's why you've read it out.
Yeah.
Toilet seat shaped trophy, perhaps? Yeah.
Who likes thermal paste?
Can you send that through the post?
Yeah, it does look a bit suspect.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
There we go.
Right. So let's move on.
Are we done?
Yeah, sure, thefootballramble.com.
Let's move on.
That's
your section.
What I would say is that we are doing a live show on Saturday at the Hackney Empire, and if you want to say hello, if you want to ask a question, if you've got something we want to know, showatthefootballramble.com, and maybe I'll read one out. Maybe I'll write it on my body and get my nips out. Maybe I won't.
The possibilities are endless.
Either way.
It all involves nipples.
Yeah. It goes a long way of explaining what these shows are like. When back in the day when we first started doing them, I was nervous about doing it. Now I'm more anxious about worrying about Pete.
Yeah. Luke, where are we going after this recording?
I'm not telling you, Pete.
What do you mean?
We're not doing that.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, it's a surprise for the listeners, for the listeners on Saturday. Yeah.
We're planning something for the live show. So you should come
Don't
on Saturday.
That sounds menacing.
Well, the way you said it is. The way we say it is like we're in cahoots. What's actually happening? He's going to do something, and I've got to keep an eye on him.
I know.
Make sure he doesn't go too far.
Yeah.
Because he always goes too far.
You've got to keep shotty.
Yeah, exactly.
let's talk a little bit about the Premier League merry-go-round.
Marcus.
The Premier League marigold round.
Well, Big Sam's got more time to wash his dishes.
He has.
Because he's seemingly retired from football management.
What's that about? It seems to be a lot of managers sort of going, eh.
One of the most interesting theories I heard about this, and I don't know if you guys have heard a similar one or perhaps a different one, but the one I heard is that the stress of
eating 12 eggs.
No,
it was 11,
and it's nothing to do with it.
Well, maybe he attempted the 12th.
The stress of the England job situation for him affected him so badly that he really wanted to go and go to somewhere like Palace to keep his reputation intact.
Yep.
And once he'd done that, he felt like he was done with football, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so he genuinely wants to leave the game completely.
He's pretty much said that, hasn't he? That he felt he had to prove a point and sort of.
Is that what was the rumour? Because
last...
he said it himself. I thought I was reading between the lines.
Prove a point.
I thought he just listened to what he was saying.
Well, you know, it's fake news, mate. Based on real news, which is new. That's worrying. Yeah. It's a powerful new strain.
Fake news.
But yeah, he pretty much did say that he didn't want that to be his last thing in football, and that Sir Alex Ferguson actually advised him to just get straight back on the horse. Mm. And I think fair play to him. You know, like if he wants to spend more time with his family while he's relatively young and relatively healthy, as he said in his own words, then fair enough. You know,
and what a great job he did, and he predicted that. That they would just about get out of it.
I think also, I mean, his record in terms of the start and the type of manager he's been, he speaks for itself. Doesn't anyone here to gild that lily, because he's done an incredible job pretty much everywhere he's gone. One or two exceptions, mentioning no names, Pete Donaldson. But the...
Who has done a good job?
Quite, exactly. You can hardly blame the man. But we're all so obsessed with football. We love it so much, and we all, you know, our personal and professional lives revolve around it and all that stuff. We automatically think it happens sometimes when a player just doesn't want to be a footballer anymore, like David Bentley or something. How can that be? But for some people, Allardyce has obviously been in the game for a long time. That's me done. Yeah. I want to enjoy my retirement when I can. I don't want to work myself to death. You know what I mean? I don't want to be in my 70s being a manager, and that's absolutely fair enough.
He's 62.
I know. Yeah, exactly.
You know,
he's given
English football a lot.
But that Palace job now is a really interesting one, because you've got a lot of managers who are candidates for it. You've got a lot of managers that apparently Steve Parish and Palace are interested in. I mean, even people like Roy the Boy Hodgson being linked and all sorts. I think they'll probably go after. They'd be crazy not to go after Marco Silva, I think.
But Hodgson's thinking, I need to get my reputation up, and it's like, well, yeah, it's. You know, I don't know if it's the same reasons as Big Sam, but Hodgson clearly doesn't want to
retire
to finish on a loss to Iceland.
If you look at the profile of managers that like Palace have appointed more recently, I mean, they've appointed people like Allardyce, who's been a real firefighter, sort of slow, steady, sort of solid guy. Neil Warnock they had for a while.
Pardew.
They've had Pardew for a while. So I wouldn't be massively surprised if they went for Roy Hodgson. I wouldn't.
And Hodgson's managed well in the league. I know Liverpool fans wouldn't think that, but that was clearly above his station. But West Brom he did well with. Blackburn for a while he did well. Fulham he did very well.
It recently,
wasn't like it was 15 years ago.
The reason I mentioned Hodgson, because with Bet365, he's 20-1 to take the Crystal Palace job. So £10 on him will return £210 should he get it. I can think of a decent amount of reasons as to why that might actually happen.
Yeah, I mean, it will be interesting where Marco Silva goes, because he's resigned from Hull.
The thing with Silva is I think they'd be crazy not to go for him, genuinely, but I don't think he'd take it. Yeah, and that's with all due respect to Palace. I think he'd want somewhere else.
There is talk of him going to Porto, isn't there? But I wonder if Claude Puel leaves Southampton, if he might not end up there.
Impossible.
Interesting sort of profile of club for him.
The Porto thing's been rearing its head for Silva for ages, and he's not rebuffed them, but not actually ever clearly moved there. And apparently, some of the newspapers today report, and that interest is cooled now.
Right,
so
it has.
I think that might, reading between the lines, that might be because Silva wants to stay in England.
I was going to say, I think that's him. I think it's Porto saying that. I think that's him.
Who's going to Watford?
What about Claudio Ranieri, Peter?
What about him?
Well, his name's been linked to jobs. Ranieri said he'd like a position in England, but also said, I feel as well a European coach. Italy, Spain, France, England, for me is okay.
I'll go anywhere.
Yeah.
Just not Greece. I can't go back.
Not
there.
Again.
They won't let me in.
We don't see old Claudio, though. Or would it? Would he
can't be out. The problem is, you think about it, you think he can't be out of a job for long. But then on the other hand, you think
he can.
Let's not let him tarnish what he's achieved.
Yep. Yeah.
Although he always did that already. let's not let him down beyond any doubt. that would be a shame.
It would be a great shame, old Ranieri. Nigel Pearson being linked to the Middlesbrough job.
That's no one's idea of a good time.
Oh, I don't know. I think we'd get a lot of mileage out of it.
It's the Rambles' idea of a good time. 100%.
Which is often not other people's idea of a good time.
What I would say initially is, outside of the people within these four walls, who would have a bloody lovely time if he went there, have the people in Middlesbrough not suffered enough?
But then, Jim and I were talking about this before the Ramble. His Leicester side,
they robbed it.
They got out of that division quite handsomely.
Yeah, they did, yeah. They did. Well, they I don't know if Pearson was manager then, but they didn't they lose in the playoff semi-final first?
To Watford.
No, they were defeated on penalties by Cardiff.
Yeah, that was when Jan Koemegon did that daft penalty.
Yeah, but I don't know if Pearson was manager then. Probably not. But he obviously then got them promoted.
He couldn't have been because old Jan's still alive.
Yeah, true. I can't remember who their manager was then, but I know obviously Pearson did romp them through the division after that, and they were obviously able to make it.
Should we assume it was Neil Warnock?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that's a safe bet. Anyway. Yeah. I mean, if you're doing the Who Wants to be a Millionaire, you're just having a punt on it. You go,
it's not far enough back to think it was old Bassett.
Yeah, Harry Bassett. And it definitely wasn't Alan Kerbishley.
Wonderful. Speaking of Koemegon, he's in the Championship playoff final.
He is.
Huddersfield Town versus Reading, the richest game in football.
That's what it's all about.
It is.
That's why we watch this.
It's about money, ladies and gentlemen.
They did do that thing on the Premier League. We forgot to mention it. They did do that prize money type race for this amount of prize money thing, just as it was predicted on this
all
show.
I had left.
So predictable.
Yeah. Well, apparently there's up to... See, that's the thing, isn't it? It's a bit like if you see a sale. Oh, up to 40% off.
Yeah.
No, there's one item 40% off. The rest of them are 10% off.
What are you suggesting they're not going to give them the money?
Well, I'm just saying, when they say it's up to £170 million for the winner, I don't know the breakdown. Mm. So, in other words, if you get promoted and then win the Premier League, you could get this amount of money.
I've actually had a look at the breakdown.
Oh, right?
And
man,
so, the article I read put
you
it...
You had a breakdown?
You were there, you remember.
You caused it.
Yeah, one of the figures that's been quoted is actually 290 million. And I think that's across three seasons if the team don't get relegated in that time. And that the 170 million figure includes two seasons of parachutes payments if they get relegated. So it's not like it's 170 million up front, which it's presented as.
Has that,
they should just deliver a big cheque. Like
a massive
comic
check.
Relief or something.
Yeah.
Has that kept in mind the fall of the pound after Brexit?
Would you like to see when a team wins the playoff final, Richard Scudamore to come on with a massive check?
No, bathtub full of coins. Like when dickheads pay fines because they've been dickheads.
Yeah.
And they go, I'm going to pay them in pennies. Oh, you're a dick.
Are you speaking from experience?
you see
would you like to see, you'd like to see Richard Scudamore wheeled on in a bath full of 170 million pound coins?
Yeah.
That is some bath, that.
Old pound coins, so they've got to spend them before October.
You know some times... you know some...
Putting in bids, getting Ronaldinho out of retirement.
Anything. We've
got to
do it.
Otherwise, you lose everything. Yeah. You lose all the players.
Like Brewster's millions. Scudamore's millions.
Griezmann's going 1 out of 10 to go a Huddersfield Town.
Pete, you know also sometimes we get people who listen to the show are actually intelligent. It does happen.
Right, yeah.
And remember that medieval weaponry chat and there's a big ding dong between these two medieval scholars. If anyone who listens to the show is good with mathematics and physics and all that stuff can work out exactly what the surface area would be of 170 million pound coins, then we can work out in our own minds whether it would be an Olympic sized swimming pool we have to be ruled out.
I was going to say, it's not a bathtub, is it?
Because no, it's bigger than that,
It's at least a hot tub.
I saw a visualisation infographic on the internet a while back of $1 million in notes. I guess it's $100 notes. It's not that big.
Yeah.
It's like depressingly small. It's about the size of a milk crate.
Because they have $100 notes, don't they?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Exactly. So how many, what's the surface area, the sheer volume of 170 million pound coins? I want to know.
I think hot tub.
Hot tub? No, it's
bigger than hot tub.
Yeah. 170 million.
Yeah, a hot tub for 20 people.
Hot tub for 170 million pound coins.
Yeah. Precisely. Yeah. Anyway, that's the playoff final done, isn't it?
It is done, and we don't need to talk anymore.
You know, you mentioned Kermigan.
He's
having an incredible goal. I think he's having his best ever goal scoring season at 35.
It's class.
It's hope for us all. And he's got a contract for 2018, so he's not even going to do a Paul Merson like when that Portsmouth got promoted. Yeah. He said, I'm not going to do it in the Premier League. I can't do it. Kermigan's here to stay.
That's class. Yeah, well, if Huddersfield go up, it'll be the first time in the top flight for them since 1972.
Wow. That'd be an incredible story. Reading were 17th and Huddersfield were 19th last season. It's amazing,
that's a big turnaround.
Well,
and Huddersfield, am I right in saying Huddersfield were very successful in the 20s, the 1920s. They've got some historic trophies won back then. So, be an amazing return from a comatose giant.
It was a while ago. Well, Dennis Law played for Huddersfield, did he?
Not in the 20s.
Not in the 20s, no. When he was in his 20s. I think it was Dennis Law anyway. It doesn't really matter. It won't have any bearing on what happens on the bank holiday weekend.
Although, possibly an interesting piece of ramble trivia, my grandmother grew up next door to Dennis Law.
Yeah.
And they were pals.
All right, well, I'll have a fiver on Huddersfield Town then.
And if that's not a sign, I don't know what is.
But it's a Wagner's swagger against Yap's Chaps.
Okay, I see what you've done there. What you've done is you've tried to think of a sort of rhyming thing to go along with Yap's Chaps.
Yeah.
You've not consulted any of us. If you'd have asked Pete about that, he'd have come up with something better.
It's very match of the day, that.
212,925 cubic litres.
Of pound coins?
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever the hell that is, I suppose.
Right, if any intelligent listeners can explain what that is, then
I'm doing half the work now, that's
this
what I'm saying.
This is like fucking cereal.
I'm Sarah Kerr-Koenig. Oh,
who said we can't raise the podcast medium to a high art?
Can you start presenting like Ira Glass?
And let's leave the similarities there, Peter.
Marcus doesn't know Ira Glass is.
I've heard the cereals, I love them.
I'm Ira Glass.
But yes, I think this has been an intriguing one. Both sides... excuse me. They score goals, but they concede goals.
Yeah.
If you look at their goal difference, Aston Villa have got a better goal difference than Huddersfield. Huddersfield were the only side in the top 11 of the Championship to finish the season with a negative goal difference. Mm. In the top 11
but
the,
I mean,
of the league. It's Norwich City back in the day.
They started playing, I'm going to be careful how I phrase this, because the FA aren't pursuing any action against them, but Huddersfield did employ a certain type of tactics towards the end of the season when they already knew they were in the playoffs.
Would you say they took it easy?
No, because that would probably be a little bit naughty to say that.
Okay, well, they'd certainly mixed up the lineup.
They knew what they were doing. they were saving themselves for this final and for the playoffs, and so far it's worked.
I find it funny when people have a go at that. It's a bit like in the World Cup. If a side's won the first two games, they're already there, and then they rest players for the third game. Oh, that's not fair. Well, they've earned the right to do it.
It's not in the spirit of the competition. Well, what's the first two games? I completely agree. I think when you employ a man, you have a model in the way football works with a manager who picks his team, and he loses his job, and managers lose their job very, very quickly in this game, and they live and die on their results in terms of their career. If they choose the team they choose, that's up to them. Mm. They're going to pay for it with their job eventually anyway, and if any of the statistics are to be believed, it's normally about every 18 months. I wouldn't be worried too much.
It's also
about
a bit disrespectful, isn't it, when they play, I don't know, younger players or players on the bench, and they're like, well, you're playing those duffers.
I always feel for those guys.
Yeah, don't you just, Jim? But Wagner, very influenced by Jurgen Klopp, of course, who worked with him before. Team likes to press, but then Stam, they like to play a sort of a quite high pressing game as well. It will be an interesting tactical battle, this.
Well, Reading are 11-10 with Bet365 to be promoted. It doesn't matter how they go about it. If they're promoted, a £10 stake will return £21, including your original tenner. That's food for thought as well. That's not the only thing that's food for thought. Like there was some food for thought earlier. I don't know why I keep saying food for thought. But you were saying Clavanova on Monday. You wouldn't shut up about it.
Yeah, and he's said sorry.
Clavanova for thought.
Clavanova.
But news today, Norwich City have just hired as their new manager the former manager of Borussia Dortmund second team.
Oh, that's right,
The floor manager.
Oh, yeah.
Is that what I said?
That's what it sounded like.
No, I don't think he's the floor manager. I mean, he might be.
I forget his name, but Farker, he has lovely hair.
Farker,
that's right, that sounds about right.
So that is also a great, another sort of example of how people who moan a lot about there being no English coaches being given a chance. Clearly, these teams, these football clubs who want to be successful are saying, our best chance here is to go somewhere like that, because there's no candidates here that can deliver what they want them to deliver. It's a problem for England, really, and a problem for their coaches.
Well, Middlesbrough obviously don't think that if they go for Nigel Pearson.
They haven't done it yet. There's still time. Mm-hmm. Still time to change their minds.
They've just been relegated with some foreign muck.
Yeah, exactly. No, they're relegated with Agnew, technically.
You.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
They were doing well with foreign muck. And then meat and potatoes come along.
And they enjoyed some Brazilian steak back in the day.
Yeah, they did.
Some of their best years were under Janine Yon, Emerson.
And Emerson, yep.
I'm going to say Branca.
Yeah. Branca was there. Yes. Was Alfonso Alves Brazilian?
He was.
Yes, he was. He still is, I think.
Yeah.
If he still exists.
Yeah. Remains Brazilian.
Yeah.
A lot of the foreigners like the North East. They stay.
A lot of Middlesbrough fans would probably be tempted to think that...
To switch off now.
Alfonso Alves is just a figment of their imagination. A very expensive figment of their imagination.
Might have got a double against Man United, though.
The sports shop I used to work for used to provide football boots to a lot of Premier League clubs. This is way back in the 90s. And they used to provide Middlesbrough. And we used to have to prepare the boots to be shipped out. And Janino had the smallest feet I've ever seen.
Really? He was a little boy.
So, I mean, they were like size 5 or something. It's ridiculous how small they were.
Remember, he just had acne for about 10 years.
All right.
Bless him. Well, I'm just saying, he did. Well, he looks like a little boy with acne. That's
what you're taking away from Janinho's career.
I think he had laser treatment, so high five to laser treatment, everyone.
Yeah. It's not only the playoff final, the only playoff final that's happening on the bank holiday weekend. Of course, the League 2 playoff final between Blackpool and Exeter is happening. Tisdale's men against the poor buggers of Blackpool. What they've gone through recently, it would be amazing. We talked about Millwall. How on earth did I get those two? Millwall going up and you know, great for the club in light of you know, awful happenings with them. I mean, Blackpool, my goodness, they've been through the ringer.
They certainly have.
I mean, the semi-finals of these two players, I don't think we got a chance to talk about them because the days they were played, I think it was we were recording on that night or something, but they were fascinating. They both finished 6-5 on aggregate.
Yeah.
And both ties were decided in the second leg with a 95th minute goal.
That's mad.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy, right?
Jim enjoyed, was it Cullen's hat trick?
Yeah. Yeah. It was against his old club, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, that's
in the Blackpool narrative. In the Blackpool Luton one, we did mention this, but I don't think we did. The Luton player dived for a penalty, which would tie the tie up on aggregate. And he scored the penalty, even though it was a dive. And I think. And that was probably in the second half, and then to go through, Blackpool scored in the 95th minute. Then the other one, Carlisle scored in the 90th minute against Exeter to level the tie, and then Jack Stacey, who's actually on loan from Reading, scored in the 95th minute for Exeter to put them through. Mm. So I mean, this game could be an absolute belter.
Drama.
It's definitely going to be 0-0.
Yeah. And he could get promoted twice.
I also think, if you want more narrative, which looking by your faces you do, I think that was Jack Stacey's first goal of the season as well. There you go.
Bloody wow. Aura, oh, Peter.
It's like they've used up all of next season in that.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's about time that Tisdale gets up in leagues, isn't it? He's a good manager.
Second longest serving manager in the country behind Arsene Wenger. Yeah. He's been manager there over 10 years.
Wow. Will he be wearing a silly hat, Peter?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, of course he will. Yeah. I like the way he dresses, surprisingly.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. No,
well, actually, that tells you that does explain a lot.
Yeah. Of course he likes the way he dresses.
That was my little point.
Yeah. Hey, I would love you to go on stage at the Hackney Empire dressed like Paul Tisdale.
With your little point.
Yeah. Pork pie hat. Yeah.
He will. Mm. It's not a problem. Do we have a bet of the week, Luke Moore?
We do have a bet of the week. I thought we were going to talk about the England squad. Obviously not.
Well, we can talk about the England squad.
That's right, we did a bet of the week. Michael Laurie is still in the hot seat. He clearly came up with the goods last time around. We actually forgot to mention that on Monday. Sorry about that, Michael.
Sorry, Mikey.
His bet of the week with Bet365 this week is as follows. He says in his email, "Hi guys, cup finals are always hard to predict, so just getting my excuses in early. It was a struggle to pick anything, but I've decided to up the odds again and go for Eden Hazard to score first at 5-1. Here's hoping he starts, unlike the semi. Here's hoping for the first Bet365 Bet of the Week hat trick, Michael Laurie. So £50 with Bet365 at 5-1 returns £300 including stake, with all proceeds going to Prostate Cancer UK. You must be over the age of 18 to bet and do gamble responsibly. And for more information, go to gamblerware.co.uk. So if you are willing Michael Laurie on for the hat trick of Bets of the Week with Bet365, you want Eden Hazard to score first in the FA Cup final on Saturday. Jim, I will give you a pass for not cheering that on to happen.
There we are.
There we go.
Wayne Rooney dropped from the England squad.
Yeah,
he was.
And also, did you see what he said this week? He said he's already played for the two Premier League clubs. I've already played for two Premier League clubs, and the only two Premier League clubs I'll ever play for.
Yeah.
Oh, really? That's cryptic.
Big news.
Well, not really cryptic. He's not playing in the Premier League
anymore. Nihal China,
or he might be going to Everton.
Could go to the Championship.
Yeah.
Could go to a Championship club. What do you think about that?
I'd be surprised.
I would.
Maybe he had a pre-deal with Newcastle and he went, oh, well, they were a Championship side when I signed for them.
You're obsessed with Newcastle United, aren't you?
More than you can.
Rooney going to it.
I just want good things to happen to Newcastle because it'll sort of mug you off. Let's look ahead to the weekend, Luke Moore.
Yes, what have we got here? This is from Ben Stanley, who I'm... I mean, I'm reading this out because even though Ben tried to mug me off on Twitter today, I don't know him, but I recognise his name.
That's a shame.
So that's poor by him. But anyway, I'm the bigger man, so I'll read the whole out of the weekend. Well, he's looking forward to the weekend anyway. He says, hacking into display boards at Wembley in the 26th minute to run a loop of John Terry's penalty miss that will only stop when he commits all his testimonial money to kick it out. He's not going to do that, is he?
No.
And Ben, you're not going to do it either. You're showing off. Michael Maguire, I've not read this one in advance, but Michael is such a regular contributor, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He says, I'm looking forward to the mighty Glasgow Celtic completing a treble, an unbeaten domestic season and marking the 50th anniversary of the Lisbon Lions European Cup win. Sometimes I think I might be the smuggest man in the world, but with the way that Celtic are playing at the moment, I remember that our manager is Brendan Rodgers and I change my mind.
It's time to be smug.
But why would you be having a dig at Brendan Rodgers when he's just giving you an unbeaten season?
Yeah, well, he's just getting involved in the ramble spirit of things.
Nicky Blair says, I'm looking forward to the start of the Premier League season. Come on, Nicky.
I mean, it's not this weekend, is it? He's better than that.
Yeah, he's got 7 weeks. 7 weeks.
Well, he's won nothing.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, there's a little matter of Scotland v England and then France v England, Jim.
This is Nicholas Nicholson having a dig. You guys remember Nicholas? He came to a couple of Ramble Lives. Nice chap. He's let himself down here with this one. Looking forward to the Ramble, telling us all that Mourinho is miserable and United are shit.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to hand it to him.
Pretty much what we've done.
Andy Starkey said, I'm looking forward to getting married this Sunday. No details.
Presumably he doesn't want us to come. No, it's not unreasonable. Pete and I will turn up.
Give us some more details, really, seriously, give us some more.
There was another listener who emailed in, I can't remember the name, but they were supposed to be going to a friend's wedding, or indeed they are going to a friend's wedding, but they bought tickets to the Ramble.
Good.
So
I endorse it.
So they're off the wedding.
No, it wouldn't be.
And before I know we haven't really done the England squad, have we? I've let everyone down there by saying we want to do it, and no, we haven't done it. But
that's all right.
I said last week on Monday that it was Clay Davis in the wire. Makes me sad how far we done fell. It's actually Bunk Morland. I knew that. The thing is, on the way home, I knew it, but there's nothing to do about it.
Set fire to the clothes in the bath.
Thanks. Yeah, I will do. Yeah, cut my tie off.
Cut your tie off.
Thanks for everyone who got in touch about that. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say that when that sort of error happens, people get so animated about it. Yeah. They get more annoyed about
than
that.
Football.
Yeah, they are much more. So, anyway,
rightly so.
Apologise to everyone I've offended with that one.
Do Bunk's catchphrase. She.
Oh dear, but the Broadwalk Empire was absolutely fantastic. So there we are. Any more for any more?
No, I've got nothing.
No. Not looking forward to anything on the weekend, Jim.
The Hackney Empire show.
Yeah. Okay. Come
Ruddy
to the Hackney Empire.
That.
It's going to be brilliant. You can get tickets on the internet.
Yeah, you can, exactly.
Just visit our Twitter page, Football Ramble.
PeteDonaldson.com.
Pick them up. Pick them up.
Have you got PeteDonaldson.com?
No.
Is that on the dark web?
No.
Almost certainly. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Bet365, everybody. It's been a pleasure. It's been a bloody pleasure. We've got the FA Cup final this weekend, we've got the Hackney Empire, and we've got that chap's wedding, which we'll find out, and we will post on social media where it is so we can all go. Wonderful. Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, BT.
See you later.
Bye from me.
Love Can Build a Bridge.
It's the one that always used to be on Comic Relief next to...
Oh, they also...
He ain't heavy.
No, Love Can Build a Bridge,
he's
is that
my
not...
brother.
Was it not a...
The road is long.
Was it not a super group?
Keep going.
In inverted.
And I went in a winding road. I don't know the lyrics.
Keep going.
And freedom through who knows where, but I'm strong enough to care. He ain't heavy, he my brother.
Toilet break.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.